Ahoy, Vachon. How's the French say, Vachon? This is the Brown Briefly, where less is more, more or less, coming to you live over KVSH 101.9 FM, Voice of Vachon, your island connection. Please make us part of your day. And be advised that our assertions and views, which can modestly be described as progressive persuasion, do not in any way reflect the opinions of KVSH or Voice of Vachon.
Good morning, everyone. That welcome was from our founder, Brian Brown. You are listening to The Brown Briefly, and it is Tuesday, April 20th, 2021. This morning, we have five Brieflys gathered via the magic of Zoom to discuss local, state, and national news and nonsense. Welcome Lynn Kerrigan, Kevin Jones, Truman O'Brien, Bruce Hallman, and I'm Gail Kellner, your host for this week's show. I'm going to start off with the last minute haiku that I wrote. So we'll be, all of us, I perhaps, will be sharing our haikus. And this one I wrote in about 3 minutes ago. It's called Haiku Panic. Just going to wing it. The computer ate my script. Technology. Ugh.
That's appropriate.
There you go. Right.
Well,
no one else has had that experience, I'm sure.
Gail, let me add to this for you, because yeah. I clicked in to start the Zoom meeting this morning, and our beloved Chris Austin, who does a lot of work here, had signed in under his name rather than the Voice of Vachon. And I could find our meeting. So I was frantically, I had to call Kate immediately and say, Kate, quick, what's your password? So anyway, I was a little freaked out.
You have approximately 45 minutes to write a haiku about that.
Well, yes, I do.
Thank you, Truman. Thank you. Okay. Well, we here in the Northwest, in the island of umbrellas and moss, are getting a little blast of summer early. So much for tiptoeing through spring tulips. It was 80 degrees over the weekend, hot enough to drive me sans a wetsuit into the Salish Sea, admittedly screaming.
I hear the water's cold.
One aspect of living in the same place for 60 years is that you notice these kind of changes. Folks newer to the Northwest may not realize just how alarming 80 degree weather in April is for us old timers. And by old timers, I include the osprey and the otters and the giant gooey ducks and, you know, all the life forms that, you know, count on a consistent, reliable weather. So Vachon, more about that to come. Vachon is beginning to open up after a long winter shutdown. One upcoming highlight will be the Mukai, pronounce it correct, Bruce? Mukai Garden Haiku Festival. I've got some more details about that, but Bruce, can you tell us about the festival first? And it's the second annual one, so.
Sure, yeah. It's actually, it was an outgrowth of Mukai Farm and Garden putting on an annual Japan festival that started 3 years ago. So this will be the third annual, and that's in September. And the success in the sort of the way the island embraced the Japanese heritage on the island was just so amazing that that folks decided, well, let's do something in the spring. And cherry trees, of course, if you have a chance, go by Mukai Gardens. The cherry trees are just beginning to bloom. They're a little bit later than they are in other parts of the island. But it's spectacular. And, you know, cherry trees and haiku go sort of hand in hand. And so the idea was to have a haiku festival. And it was overwhelming. There were nearly 300, I think, haikus written last year.
Wow.
And they print them all. They have them calligraphed and printed and put up around the farm and garden so you can wander through and read haiku. So it's an extraordinary experience. So well worth it. So get there, get out and get busy writing your haiku. You too could be a winner of the haiku contest.
That's wonderful, Bruce. You know, a friend of mine who lived in Japan for quite a long time told me that that's actually, it is a Japanese tradition to disperse haiku in the gardens there. And even by moonlight, that reading, wandering the garden and reading haikus at moonlight. So I don't know if that's planned for this year's festival, but I'm sure certainly planning to go. So let me give, for those listeners who are interested, we still have about four more days to enter your haiku, which of course is the 575 syllable structure. So no one has an excuse. I mean, I think it fits in a tweet or and any other number of quick social media that we now have. So if anyone can write a haiku that can write a text. So the deadline is, like I said, April 24th, Friday. There are a number of categories, including heritage, social justice, nature, young peoples, people's choice, and I believe the judges also held out that they could make up categories as they please, which is, I love, that is so much on. So, and I think it's throughout the month of May. Is that correct, Bruce? The month of May, when the gardens are open, and I'm sure there'll be more information posted about that. Well, I'd like to start us off this morning by welcoming Lynn Kerrigan, former Georgia Peach poet, provocateur, musician, feminist, and fighter for justice. Do you have a haiku for us this morning, Lynn?
I do, but I have to ask you before I say it, could you tell us where the submission are to go for the haiku?
Yeah, thank you for reminding me. It's Mukai Farm and Garden, all one word, .org. Again, Mukai spelled M-U-K-I-A. Farm and Garden.
AI,
excuse me. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. MukaiFarmandGarden.org or something? Great. I think that's so wonderful. It's so needed right now. You know, I find poetry and literature itself, plays, all of those to be tremendous uniters. They always give me hope. They kind of put my internal turmoil out in front of me so I can see how silly it is. And the haiku that I wrote also today, because I have a pile of it, but somehow, you know, haiku poetry is a currency. It's something that needs to be fresh and kind of alive, you know, with observation. And my poetry tends to run dark. It's not uplifting and kind of flower oriented. So I took my inspiration this morning from just having read Heather Cox Richardson's piece. She's the historian from Boston College. She's quite a great analyst. And she just did this poem about, you know, the big lie continuing and how many Republicans are saying they agree with the big lie, you know, like half of the Republicans in Congress are saying they believed the steal happened. And so I was just reading that, getting irritated as usual with the facts of our existence. And what came out of my mouth was spectacle and spin. Golden-haired Custer believed his own legend as well.
That's excellent. That's excellent.
Mm-hmm. Lynn, can you repeat it? I'm a big fan of hearing poems twice. It lets us drop in a little deeper one more time, especially haiku, it's so short.
Spectacle and spin. Golden-haired Custer believed in his own legend as well.
Well, on a lighter note, Lynn, you shared with me that you noticed some openings happening on the island here.
I did. I was so delighted first to walk into the library, which on Friday has expanded its hours so that you can come in and sit at their computer and print things. But they're only open 4 hours for that because in between they have to clean. So they have a 10 to 11 o'clock opening and a 12 to 1 and a 2 to 3 and a 4 to 5. And so those hours are limited to, I think, a couple of days a week. I didn't bring that with me, but it's like Thursdays and Saturdays or something like that. I think you should look that up. I didn't. But just to be in the library excited me so badly. It just, I couldn't stop talking, you know, and they were trying not to shush me, and I'm dancing in there thinking how happy I was to be surrounded by an unlimited number of books to choose from. So that I'm thrilled that they're open. I also went and got some food at the Casa Bonita outdoor table this week, celebrating our church. The Church of the Holy Spirit opened this week as well for some highly distanced listening to the preacher and doing, you know, the rituals, which I really miss. It's not that I don't do a lot of up and down in my own house, but I really like it done rhythmically and with other people, you know, to kind of keep my brain moving and to worship, I suppose, in a different way. So I have been thrilled as we try to open up safely and hopeful that we don't get caught in another big curve. So hopefully all those vaccinations are working and people are still being really careful, because it's so wonderful to be out and about.
Thank you, Lynn. Thank you so much. Yes, it seems appropriate to think of you worshiping both at the library and at a church.
Absolutely.
Okay, welcome Kevin Jones, Vashon's own superhero of activism at the helm of Vashon Indivisible. Indivisible Vashon, excuse me, I inverted those. What have you and your gang of merry activists been paying attention to this week?
Well, thanks for the welcome. And I do have to say, Lynn, that yours is a story of absence makes the heart grow fonder.
So that's wonderful. That's right.
The library opening, that's fantastic, because I have a fondness for libraries myself. So it's great to hear. We're still focusing on the filibuster and that as how to address this apparent roadblock to the progressive legislation that we want to see. But it turns out that this Wednesday, tomorrow at 7 o'clock, is our meeting of members, and so anybody is welcome to join us. You can go to indivisiblevashon.org and go to the events page and click to register and stop by and hear not only what is the current administration up to and the celebration of progress, as we call it. We'll talk about the Washington State Legislature and progress being made there right here at home, and then we'll look ahead to what we're doing to help us make sure to retain the kind of good governance that we have through the next couple of years. So if you're interested in any of those things or all of those things, stop by at 7 o'clock.
Great. Thank you, Kevin. Again, how do people join you for that?
It's very straightforward. Indivisiblevashon.org is the website, and you'll go to our events page. Probably right at the top of the page has a link to that meeting, and you'll click on the registration. That'll basically get you registered for the meeting, and an email will follow with the Zoom link so that you'll be able to join the meeting.
Thank you. Thank you, Kevin. Now, as an engineer, I know you probably write a lot of poetry. So do you have an offering for us this morning?
Well, I'm jumping into the occasion here. Now, I got some work to do. There's a bit of editing. Because I think I went past, you know, the syllable count and everything, but here's my starting point. Okay, so you can see a miracle will eventually emerge from this. Okay, here we go. There once was a man from Peru who decided to buy an old zoo. After cleaning the stalls and dusting the halls, all he could say was "Achoo!" There you go.
That's a start.
A limerick is not bound by haiku syllables.
That's right.
Okay.
And it's the lowest form of humor known to the human race.
That's right.
Okay, Kevin, give it to us one more time. It's so good.
Oh, you want to hear it? Okay, here we go. Drum roll. There once was a man from Peru who decided to buy an old zoo. After cleaning the stalls and dusting the halls, all he could say was, "Achoo!"
I love it.
I
love
think
it.
That does not need one bit of editing.
It was a perfect limerick. The way it is.
Perfect limerick.
I agree.
Okay.
Speaking of activism, there were a couple of events this past week. I was curious if anyone attended. There was the Path to Zero Carbon Waste. That was a Zoom, I believe, meeting of some kind that was put on by the Unitarian Church. And there was also the Vashon Electric Recycling event where you could recycle your electronics. Did anybody have an opportunity to become a part of either one
of
those?
Yeah, I turned in a bunch of stuff. Yep.
Great. And that's, Truman, do you just pile it in one spot in your garage, and then when that comes up, you're able to,
to
keep it out of landfills? And,
well, actually, oftentimes I will take it to RePC over in Tukwila. But when I don't get a chance to go there, then I do wait for the recycling. Yep.
No. Anybody else have an opportunity for either one of those?
I just want to thank the Unitarians for, you know, bringing such a great speaker to the island. It was a schedule conflict for me, but we did notify our Vashon Climate Action Group folks that that was going on. And I have not heard any feedback yet, but it was certainly had a really qualified person talking about where we're at in the climate challenge.
Well, if you missed that one, and or if our listeners out there are interested in, there is this Sunday at 1 p.m., the Backbone Campaign is sponsoring a watch party for a film called The Race to Save the World. And it will be featuring our own Bill Moyer, I believe. Mm-hmm. So that's something to keep your eye out for in this coming Sunday, 1 p.m. Go ahead, Truman.
Yeah, I just want to throw out Bill Moyer is also going to be on Real Talk today. So I just saw that.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, so you might want to tune into that right after us.
Yeah, that comes on at 12 o'clock with Susan McCabe.
That is correct.
All right. Welcome, Bruce Hallman, fondly known here at the Briefly as the Guardian of the Galaxy. What is the latest news from your side of our fair island in Ellisport? And do you have a haiku offering for us this morning?
Yes, both. the news from Ellisport is beach time.
There you go.
Yes,
lots of people on the beach. The end of spring break for the Seattle schools, and lots of summer people were out visiting their summer homes in this blast of summer that will be followed by a blast of winter shortly, but we enjoy it while it's here. And I do have a haiku. Kevin and the rest of you, it's a bit of a struggle for me to write haiku, but here's my go at it. COVID-19 hit. Vashon, be prepared, replied, test, trace, vaccinate.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, there you go.
I think that could go on a billboard somewhere.
The downtown Vashon billboard, haiku billboard, right? That's a project we should start.
Well, you know, there's along the highway haiku down there towards as you're going to the North End Ferry. Right. I haven't seen it just recently, but then I haven't left the island in a long time.
It's still there.
But I understand, I understand that they have their haikus. Okay, Bruce, give it to us one more time, and then Kevin.
Yep, and just a follow-up on it. So here it is. COVID-19 hit. Vashon, be prepared, replied. Test, trace, vaccinate.
All right. Yeah.
I like it.
So there's actually a very active haiku group on Vashon, and they're actually working with the Heritage Museum. We have an exhibit that will be opening sometime late summer, early fall, called Wild Wonder, an island shaped by water, the natural history of Vashon Island. Mm-hmm. And in four of the windows in the museum, we're going to have murals, translucent murals that represent four locations, Fisher Pond, the pond down off of Wax Orchard Road, Christensen Pond, KBI Beach, and in each of the four windows, and represent by directions you know, north, south, east, and west, but also each one will be accompanied by a haiku written by the Haiku Society that will sort of capture the spirit of that place on the island. So haiku is alive and well on Vashon.
Oh, that's wonderful to hear. Bruce, can you tell us when the Heritage Museum is open in general for those of us who'd like to stop in? Does it have, or is it at this point, it's not?
Yeah, it's not. It's we're still closed because of COVID and because of, you know, our docent staff tends to be people who are geriatrics like all of us. And even though vaccinated, still are reluctant to get out. The outside parts of the museum are open and have been opened all through this time. So there's an AIDS Memorial Garden. There's a gender garden, gender identity garden. There's things outside, the AIDS quilt done by the high school, ceramics AIDS quilt. So there's a number of things outside you can see. And you can certainly arrange private viewings, tours of the In and Out exhibit, small groups. But right now the museum's closed. We're looking at probably doing a phased opening of this natural history exhibit. Starting in July, we'll have an orca installation in the back, a very interesting multimedia orca installation in the back. The geology exhibit, which will be outside, will probably be open by June or July. And then we're looking at possibly September or October to open the inside of the museum. So again, all depends on COVID and variants and all that sort of stuff. But the plan is to open as soon as practicable and as soon as safely.
Thank you for that, Bruce. Mm-hmm. Thank you for all your work with the museum too. Sure. Kevin.
Thinking, Bruce, listening to your commentary, I think you've explained a phenomenon that I noticed when I was in town yesterday. And you mentioned that the good weather on Vashon and the crowds on the beaches and the spring break, I think all explains the phenomenon. When I was in town, the percentage of clean cars that I saw is way up.
I was
thinking, what is going on here? Yeah. So I understand. I get it.
Interlopers on the island, right?
They must be. Yeah.
there also, I'd like to say this weekend there was a car wash over in the IGA parking lot for that could also be a part of it.
Okay.
The line was too long for me, but yeah.
All right, you're up upholding your Vashon standards then for car cleanliness.
That's right. That's right. That's how you know a local, is how clean or dirty their car is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'd like to thank Truman O'Brien at the controls this morning in the voice of Vashon Studios. Drawing on his skill as a former airline pilot, he has safely launched us into the air for our 45-minute flight over the political and cultural landscape of Vashon Island. Any observations from altitude, Truman? A haiku offering, perhaps, after your near brush with death?
Well,
after tempting fate by landing your airplane in an unauthorized forest?
I have several things this morning. my airplane partner, Craig, just brought me this morning. I wish you folks on the radio could see this, but here is a model, a wooden model. Of our airplane that we crashed into the forest, which is beautiful.
Wow.
And it says on it, Mount St. Helens, March Miracle 2021, Captain O'Brien, November 665, Foxtrot Lima. Is that cool? And his wife,
very nice.
The end number on the aircraft was 665 Foxtrot Lima, FL. And his wife said the FL does not stand for Foxtrot Lima. It stands for effing lucky. So I thought that was pretty good. In terms of haiku, my big exposure to haiku is Kaj's by the on the road, by the ferry dock that you were just mentioning. And so I've hardly read haiku, much less written any, but I did do a little research and learned the 575 thing. But I also learned something else. And reading further, there's a difference between the Japanese on or on and our syllables. And so consequently, if we do haikus in English, there's a little bit of flexibility there, I've read. So I'm going to hog the mic this morning, and I've actually written three haikus. I've written about seven because I just got into it. And I'm really liking it. So here you go. Here you go. Here's my first. This is the first haiku that I wrote, by the way. In a valley choked with trees, a sputtering engine falters. Skill and luck save lives.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. Nice. Okay. Nice.
Okay. All right. So let me give you the second one. Cars, engines idling, with a pinch in many arms, Vashon comes to life.
Can you repeat that one for me?
Sure. Cars, engines idling, with a pinch in many arms, Vashon comes to life.
Okay. Not bad. Hey.
For an airline pilot?
I'm impressed.
Come on. All right, here's my last. Brian gathered crew with many varied opinions, all agree on love.
Oh, yay.
How's that?
For our listeners, that's a reference to Brown Briefly, the founder of the
Briefly. Yeah. Right, there Brown. You go. There you go.
Okay. Can you repeat what? Can you choose maybe the last one or the first one to repeat for us? I like them all.
All right. I'll do the first one. In a valley choked with trees, a sputtering engine falters. Skill and luck save lives.
Nice. Oh, wonderful. Truman, I'm so touched that that you've kind of gotten into this.
It's fun. You know, I just had a blast with it.
At the end of the program, I was going to give a little information about the Poet Laureate. Now, Vashon's Poet Laureate, is a position that changes every 2 years. And apparently, that's up for dibs right now. And let's see if I can find it here it is. Okay. If you know of anyone, and now I know of at least four right here on the program, that could be potential poet laureates of Vashon, you send your nominations to, I believe it's Ann Spears. And as I mentioned earlier, the computer ate my paper. So I think it's Spears.com. Anyway, you could look in the local paper. It does have a reference, but it does have a contact for making a nomination. You can nominate yourself or someone else with a little brief explanation of why you are nominating the person and what perhaps sampling of their poetry. So, hey, I'm just so impressed with all of you. That's wonderful. Thank you for playing along with me and my crazy poems this morning. Okay, let's see. It has been announced that Strawberry Festival is going to be held this year, and I quote the Vashon Beach Comer, by Vashon, for Vashon. Local artists, restaurants, and entertainers will be headlining this year's festivities. I'm looking forward to it more than other years, I think. Maybe because of the, you know, so long being held out of those kind of events, but I love the idea of it going back to being a really local, kind of event. Bruce, can you tell us about the connection between the Strawberry Festival and Mukai Gardens?
Actually, there is no real connection between the garden and the festival, but the festival has been around for a long time. Mukai Gardens were built in the early 1930s as a destination kind of place by the Mukais. It's a fascinating story. B.D. Mukai, very much a businessman, develops the farm and garden, develops the coal processing barreling plant. His wife, Kuni, his second wife, who was the sister of his first wife, and that's an interesting story in its own right, was the daughter of a Japanese garden designer in Japan. And she took her skills and designed a Japanese stroll garden for Vashon, essentially as an entrepreneurial effort. It never paid off in the way that I think they anticipated. But BD gave her $50,000 in 1930 to build the garden, which is equivalent to about $500,000 or $600,000 today. So it's a significant investment. And it's a spectacular garden. The South Garden has been totally destroyed and will be take quite a bit to rebuild. The North Garden has been restored, and it is worth going by to see it. So the Mukai Garden in its and it's right is just a gem and well worth visiting. But no real connection with Strawberry Festival other than B.D. Mukai made all his money by selling strawberries.
Just
something that maybe some of our listeners may or may not realize is that at one time Vashon was known for its strawberries, and we processed them, as I understand, grew them, processed them, and shipped them from Vashon. And the Strawberry Festival was perhaps a part of like a recognition of that, or something to do with this. Can you tell us more?
Yeah, it's an interesting history, because the very first festival held on the island was in 1900. And it was just an island festival. And then in 1909, and it occurred a couple times between 1900 and 1909. But in 1909, as strawberries were emerging as a primary crop on Vashon, they held the first strawberry festival. And it stayed the strawberry festival on and off into the 1940s. There were a number of years in the Depression when there was no festival. It changed dates from May to July to August. It moved around a bit. But essentially, it was mostly called Strawberry Festival through that time. Then after the war, it became the Peach Festival for 1946 through 1948.
Yay.
Is because peaches were a big crop on Vashon until the peach weevil sort of took over and destroyed the crop. In 1949, it became the Harvest Festival. And it was Vashon Harvest Festival from 1949 to 1952, held in the fall, early fall. And then in 1953, it just was renamed the Vashon Island Festival, which it remained through 1979. In 1980, they held a festival that was called Strawberry Fields Forever, after the Beatles tune. And then in 1982, it became formally what it is today, the Vashon Island Strawberry Festival. And it's been that ever since. So it's like anything in history, it's a nuanced history. It's not one simple story, but it's a fascinating story. And it was originally built as a festival to celebrate Vashon agriculture. And then by the time strawberries became dominant in the 1910s and 1920s, it was clearly the Strawberry Festival. And then by the 1980s and 90s, it becomes a nostalgia festival.
I love that. I love that story. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Sure.
Well, I say there's two kinds of people on Vashon. The ones who bar themselves in their houses over the weekend of Strawberry Festival and refuse to leave their driveways, and those who put on their party hats and traipse into town multiple times. How do the Briefleys fall on this?
I thought you were going to say that there were two kinds of people, those who wear tie-dye and those who don't or won't.
I didn't know there was a second kind.
I'm in the tie-dye camp.
there's some who don't?
It's interesting. Read The Beachcomber this tomorrow when it comes out, or on Thursday, if you get it on Thursday. I have a little piece in its history about the first Earth Day. Thursday is Earth Day. And, yeah. And one of the businesses in Vashon, Island Mart, actually had a sign posted in their window, "Celebrate Earth Day, wash a hippie."
Awesome.
Culture wars that were on in Vashon.
That's right.
Were going strong on Vashon even years ago.
That's awesome.
Oh my gosh, Bruce, I remember the internecine wars we had early on there, somewhere in the 80s or maybe early 90s, in which at the same day the very hay bale Earth Festival was happening at the Paradise Park. Mm-hmm. The Washington State Republican Committee was meeting on Misty Island Farms, mm-hmm. luring people away with, junk food. My daughter ribbing me about going to the Republicans rather than to Earth Day so she could finally get something to eat that wasn't, leaves.
is that the one where they had the grip and grin contest? I can't remember who it was. They were trying to set a Guinness record for the number of photographs taken by a candidate shaking hands.
Wouldn't doubt it.
You know, I do recall that because we are just south of that location. And I remember Susie and I were new on Vashon, and we were sitting out on the front porch after having spent a morning of, you know, tackling the forest around us and just sort of kicking back, having lunch. And we would hear this really odd noise. It's like staccato, and then this big uproaring sound, and then this uproaring sound. We finally realized that it was somebody speaking over a loudspeaker, and the crowd reacting. So we figured it had to be, you know, the Republicans on the Misdale farm.
No doubt.
We share our island reluctantly.
Well, I have to always remind people that we're in the last election, there were 800 islanders who voted Donald Trump. So, you know, we are not one thing.
That's right.
Yes.
That's true. Okay, well, I'm looking at our time and I want to mention a few things. The farmers market is open on Saturdays now. For those of you who haven't, it's wonderful to get in and support our local farmers. The local produce is amazing. I've been getting wild greens as well as fiddleheads last week. Has anyone else made it to the market?
No, I can't wait. Yeah.
Well worth a trip, though you might have to wait in a bit of a line because they are social distancing people by limiting the number of people in the booths at any one time, but it was lovely to be out and about. I'd also like to take a moment to say that Island Park funding looks like it's going to Jay Inslee's desk about now. I see you, Truman, nodding your head. Do you have some information about
that? Just that it's a five-year plan, and it will this year it will not apply. So they're going to be $100,000 down this year. I think $150,000 actually, and but it will kick in beginning of January of next year, and it runs for 5 years, and it takes them outside of the $5.90 cap. So they will get their regular funding, and then the rest will be made up by the state to cover that. But it's only a five-year deal. So and I think their levy comes up again, I think it's next year. Would that be 22? Yeah, I think so. And it'll kick in on 23. So they could ask for more at that point. It just kind of depends. But there are a couple of other of the junior testing districts that are looking at looking for more. So it could have a larger effect on the Park District. But anyway, it's a good thing for at least the next 5 years.
Yeah, wonderful to hear that. And I know all of us really who live out here, our parks are such an important part of keeping the island, the island. So I wanted to also note that the Land Trust is looking to expand the Judd Creek Trail, that they are going about the big Give Big event coming up, looking for funding to continue that trail with the hopes at some point we'll be able to walk from one end of the island to the other on foot. Go ahead, Truman.
Yeah, and on the Judd Creek Trail, I just walked part of the new portion of that because I'm going to be granting them an easement to go about 6 feet onto my property on that Judd Creek Trail. It's just going to be a little dip onto my property that I don't really use. So anyway, it's going to be beautiful, I'm telling you.
Thank you for that on behalf of the community. Sure. That's really wonderful. That's what it does take, people being willing to do that kind of thing in order for us to develop these kind of trails. Right. And if anyone out there hasn't been on the Judd Creek Trails, there's two of them actually right now, though they'll be connected. Is that right, Truman?
From that's correct. Your end? Yeah, from that's the part that'll go. Yeah, and there's a pond there's a pond out there that's to the south and east of my property, and my daughter's horse she was disappearing, and we couldn't figure out what was going on. Well, she was escaping through that corner, and there was a lovely little field there with a pond. And she was going down there and basking in the sun and grazing on that grass that was down there. But anyway, it was a lovely spot.
Lovely, lovely. Well, I have a little segment in here to talk for a moment about the wildlife on the island. And I'm not talking about sporties, mm-hmm. I think, with the bar opening. But Vashon this month, I saw, has a bird of the month. And this month it is the white-headed sparrow. And it was very interesting that the male sparrow teaches its young to sing, and it teaches it in a particular dialect. So there's a local dialect that is passed along in the bird in that group of birds. Found that really interesting. So any wildlife sightings or musings from the Brieflees in the last week?
Well, the ospreys are back at Tramp Harbor. And the eagles are eagerly following them around and hoping to take advantage of their fishing skills. But yeah, it's been interesting. And, you know, this past 2 weeks, we've had some fascinating bird migrations come through Tramp Harbor. Tramp Harbor and the area down, KBI Beach down to Portage is a major sort of bird transition area as they're moving north and south. And so we get to see just amazing sort of bird life come through here. But it was heartening to see the ospreys back doing their kind of swooping and diving in their efforts to feed their upcoming families.
Yeah, they're fascinating. The way, if anyone who isn't familiar with an osprey, they will dive into the water as much as I've seen them dive as deep as 6 or 8 feet down to pick flounder off the bottom.
And then they carry them. Straight ahead.
I just want to mention that I read an article about birds singing, you know, their songs, as we're so lucky to hear now, but that over the winter, their brains actually shrink when they're not singing, but they grow again in the spring when their bird calls come up. And I am hopeful that we can also regrow our brains. If they can do it, so can we. So we can enter spring full of song.
Well, thank
maybe
you.
Maybe we could sing the briefing next week rather than talking it.
There you go.
Okay, I have a final poem for us. Now, I tried to write a haiku, and I also went off rail. So this is my offering. It's called 80 Degrees in April, or I Tried to Write a Haiku. I am asking for forgiveness, though perhaps quite undeserved. I walked upon the earth once with the white bird and the white bear and the bird. The sun beat down upon me, and I began to cry. There weren't many left to mourn me. I had buried them by and by. The orca passed before me, the tortoise and the fly, the wind chimes played a dirge as the curtains waved goodbye. Whatever rises after us, when the healing has begun, perhaps they will forgive us for what we collectively have done.
Wow, gorgeous.
Wow, Gail.
So, and I'm going to throw one more haiku out for you. We went for a flight. After our crash, I went with a friend of mine, and we flew up over the Skagit Valley and up over the San Juans. And it was a beautiful day, a gorgeous day. And by the way, in haiku, they have a thing, I think they call it akira, which means it changes the tone abruptly. And so here's one. Skagit Valley abloom, viewed 5,000 feet above, cars clogged the beauty.
Huh? Mm-hmm. Wow. Poet laureate.
There it is. Okay, guys. See you all next week.